On Sunday, the 6th of August, 1893, three brothers who resided in Blakely, a small suburb of Manchester, while they set off from their homes to pick blackberries from nearby Crab Lane. Their trip over was cut short when a sudden shower caused them to seek shelter in an area known as Dark Old Clough. Rambling through a plantation, the boys stopped to take cover under the canopy of trees, but one of them, 12 years old Alfred Shorrocks, seeing a red flower in front of him, he left his friends to go and pick at it. Next to the flower and underneath some small shrubs and leaves was a brown looking parcel. Excited by his find, he ran back to his two brothers to tell them of his find. All three boys then went back to where the parcel was laying, and with curiosity getting the better of them, one of them looked around for a stick that he would use to try and prise it open. What they had stumbled upon was the body of a fully clothed baby boy. Fifty-year-old Ashworth Reed, married and with three children, was a well-known and well-respected manufacturer and waste dealer from Burnley. Over the years he had built up several businesses and was so successful that he could afford to have two houses built on Brooklands Road, also in Burnley. Not just for himself and his family, but also that of his mother and father. He would often spend many long hours working into the late evening, and during the day he would spend a lot of his time traversing from Burnley to Manchester to attend meetings on a regular basis. As for Elizabeth Remington, little is known, but what we do know is that she had moved from Kirkby Lonsdale, Cumbria, where she was already engaged to a man from Penrith by the name of Albert Barnsley. She was around 25 years old and she was employed as a domestic servant within the Reeds' home in July 1889. Over the years, it seems Ashworth and Elizabeth had become close in ways which should never have happened, and by the end of April 1893, she had started to become withdrawn and seemed to be in a distracted state of mind. Speaking to her stepmother, Frances Remington, on Tuesday the 9th of May, Elizabeth said that she had had a row with Mr. Reed and would therefore be going away for a while, to which Frances proposed Markham as being the ideal place to visit. Frances would later go on to say that she remembered seeing Elizabeth looking rather stoutly, but put this down to her possibly having dropsy, a medical condition characterised by the accumulation of water fluid in the body, and this also took the life of her father some years before. She even visited a chemist on the 6th of May for medication to help with her stepdaughter. After having spoken to Elizabeth on the 9th of May, Frances told Elizabeth that on her return from Markham, she was to come back home to number 8 Townley Street, Burnley Lane, where she would look after her. And 2 days later, on the 11th of May, Elizabeth left the Reeds' residence, but she wouldn't go to Markham, instead making her way to Manchester, where she would find lodgings at the Central Temperance Hotel on Newbridge Street. Now, this was owned by John and Mary King, and she would tell the Kings that she had to be confined and that her husband, whilst a mate of a vessel, he had already left her. She also told them that she was a domestic service for Mrs. Reed in Burnley. Seeing that she was carrying a child, Mary would go on to introduce Elizabeth to Dr. Victor Saul, who would visit on a regular basis to make sure both mother and baby were doing fine. And over the next few weeks, Elizabeth would be seen frequently leaving the Temperance Hotel, usually around the same time at noon. She would tell the Kings that she was going to see her uncle and would remain out from anywhere between 2 and 3 hours and sometimes even longer. Now this would go on until the end of May when Dr. Saul would advise her not to see her uncle again until after the baby was born, and on the July the 4th she would give birth to a baby boy. A fortnight later and on July the 12th, Elizabeth would visit Victoria Station to again meet up with her so-called uncle, and these visits would remain a daily occurrence thereafter, but each time she would leave her child at the Temperance Hotel and with Mary King. Angel Meadows has, without a doubt, become one of the most widely written places in Manchester due to its dark history. And situated on the northeast of the city centre with the River Irk close by, it was by far one of the worst places that any man, woman or child could have frequented, never mind lived in. It was so bad, Frederick Engels, in his book, The Condition of the Working Class in England in 1884, labelled it Hell Upon Earth. So it's perhaps apt that our story begins to take shape in this area, on the seats situated on the recreation ground. It is here that Elizabeth and her uncle would arrive at St. Michael's Flags and spend an hour to two, sometimes longer, sat on the seats. They were often seen in deep conversation and would occasionally walk around the area before finding another seat to sit on. There they would have something to eat, drink, and occasionally seem to fall out with each other, with Elizabeth on some occasions beginning to cry. However, and as in keeping with the history of Angel Meadows, the discussions that took place between the two, one could say, would be of sadness as well as truly horrific. And as you have probably already worked out by now, there was no uncle, and it was her ex-employer and lover, Ashworth Reed, whom she had been liaising with all of this time. On the 31st of July, Elizabeth had packed her belongings and told Mrs. King that she had made preparations to visit a relative in Kirkby Lonsdale. Mrs. King recalled helping Elizabeth by wrapping the baby in a shawl and placing its drinking bottles, filled with milk, inside a little basket. But she also noticed that a piece of brown paper was folded also neatly inside the same basket. Elizabeth was in a pitiful state, crying bitterly. Mrs. King offered to accompany her to nearby Victoria Station, but Elizabeth would have none of it. Her baby at this point also began to cry, and Elizabeth said, "Hold your tongue. Them you're going to see doesn't like crying." And later that day, and at around 11 a.m, Elizabeth and Ashworth would meet up yet again. And this time, instead of taking a walk to Angel Meadows, they would take the steps up towards Ducie Bridge before catching a train which would then take them to Cheetham Hill. From here they would begin the walk towards Blakely and to an area locally known as Dark Old Clough. Now obviously it is hard for any of us to imagine the scenes that would be following them, as the walk from Cheetham Hill to Blakely would take anywhere between 25 and 35 minutes. Now personally I would offer the suggestion that they perhaps took a cab from Cheetham Hill to somewhere closer to Blakely, where they would then be completing their journey by foot. Now this is only because Elizabeth had been carrying their newborn son, and to walk such a distance in what I would assume under some emotional duress, it would not only be draining, but it would almost certainly bring attention to them. Now close to Dark Old Clough they passed over an old looking footbridge that crosses over the River Irk, and from here they would disappear into the dense forest that they would hope would conceal the dark crime they were about to commit. After a few minutes walk, Ashworth stopped. He removed a handkerchief from his pocket as he made his way over to the River Irk. Kneeling down, he soaked the handkerchief in the water for a few seconds before making his way back up onto his feet. Stood next to him, Elizabeth was crying. She was despairing at what was to come. "Here, place it over the child's mouth," he said to Elizabeth. Taking hold of the handkerchief, she gently did so, but no longer as she had done, she quickly removed it. She couldn't just go ahead with the deed. Ashworth, showing no remorse, took hold of the handkerchief and he placed it over the child's mouth. The child began to struggle, shaking its head in a violent manner. Ashworth would cup his hand over the cloth, applying more pressure and preventing the baby's head from moving. It took a few seconds, but eventually their baby would stop moving, its hands and arms slowly becoming limp. Ashworth took the baby from Elizabeth's arms, and he began to wrap it in brown paper, which was blue on the inside. He would then tie it before placing it under some small shrubs. Looking up at Elizabeth, he would tell her, "It's done." 6 days later, and on the 6th of August, and after the discovery of the child by Alfred Shorrocks, a local man by the name of William Henry Birch was called for, and upon being taken to the scene, he proceeded to open the parcel. Satisfied with what was inside, he took the parcel, and along with Alfred and his two brothers, they made their way to the Clarendon Police Station, where Police Constable James Butler, William and his brothers accompanied it to a nearby Willard Street Station. PC Butler opened the parcel, where it was certified that it was indeed the body of a young baby boy, whose body it was badly discoloured from the base of the skull downwards. The following day, Rudovich Young, surgeon to the Clan MacPherson internship, would conduct a post-mortem on the body, but the results were inconclusive. Mr. Young confirmed that the body had been dead for around 4 to 6 days, and whilst it suffered from no bruising and with no marks of violence apparent, it was starting to decompose. He would state that the boy had died from asphyxia or convulsions, and this would prove to be something of importance in the near future. A small jury at the inquest, and after hearing the results of the post-mortem, they would bring a verdict of death from natural causes. But news quickly spread with regards to a baby boy being found in the woods near Blakely, and after publishing details of the baby in one of the local newspapers, Mrs. Mary King, the landlord of the Temperance Hotel in which Elizabeth had stayed at, well, she came forwards, and after seeing the clothes, she recognised them as being those worn by the baby on the day Elizabeth had left their lodgings on the 31st of July. This led to Chief Detective Inspector Jerome Caminada becoming involved in the case. Caminada had a huge reputation within the district of Manchester, and it was well known that once he was called upon, it wouldn't take too long before things escalated, and on the 28th of September 1893, and after hearing of witness accounts of where Elizabeth had been seen since the discovery of the body, along with Inspector Mason, he visited places such as another Temperance Hotel which was situated in Todmorden, as well as travelling over to a place in Rochdale. He would eventually trace her back to Burnley and to the home of a Mrs. Richards. Now, Mrs. Richards was the mother of Francis Remington, where Elizabeth was working as a domestic servant. Upon her arrest and having been charged by Caminada, Elizabeth would be transported to Manchester and into the town hall where she would be questioned. She would later that day make a verbal confession that went as follows. I was in the service of Mr. Ashworth Reed, and he is the father of my illegitimate child. He told me to go to Manchester, and I came from Burnley Station. He told me to take lodgings, which I did in Newbridge Street, where I was confined, and he was supporting me since. I met him at the Victoria Station, and we walked up the steps to Ducie Bridge, and then took the tram to Cheetham Hill. We walked along the road to a wood in Blakely. Mr. Reed soaked a pocket handkerchief in water and gave it to me to put on the child's mouth. I put it on, and I took it off again. Then Mr. Reed put it on again. Soon after, he said the child was dead. He wrapped it up in a brown parcel, tied it, and he left it there. I wrote to Mr. Reed and received the letter now produced. Mr. Reed told me it would never be found out that it was my child. He said it would disgrace him, and that he would never hold his head up in Burnley. I cannot tell the date I left the house in July. He told me to write to him under the name of Richard Battersby, Spruce Mill, Burnley. The following day, the 29th of September, the police travelled back to Burnley and arrested Ashworth Reed, removing him from his factory at Spruce Mill. They would also search his premises, and in doing so, they came across several letters in a safe that had been signed by the name of Barnsley, and all had been dated from September 1892. Now, as you remember, Barnsley was the man whom Elizabeth had been engaged to, but they hadn't seen each other since she went away in September of that same year. Ashworth Reed was taken into custody in Manchester, and just like Elizabeth, he would be questioned in the town hall. The police would then bring both prisoners together, where Elizabeth would make another statement, which was taken down by a shorthand writer, transcribed, and read over to the prisoners whilst they were standing. Reed said nothing whilst the statement was read to him. Elizabeth then signed the statement, and the letter she had mentioned in her original confession the day before was also read out, which said, I should like to see you before you call at our house on Sunday if you can make it convenient. Your affectionate friend, Elizabeth Allen. At the same time, Elizabeth produced a ring which Caminada showed to Reed. Reed simply replied, I think it's better to say nothing then. This was just the first of a two-part episode, which the second part will be coming shortly, so please keep an eye out for that. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this first part of a two-part story. And if you want more, please show some support and comment down below if you are listening to this through the website. These stories are also available on several other platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Castbox, and many others. And if you are listening to us via one of these platforms, I cannot thank you enough. You can also follow me on Twitter and on Instagram, which again, if you're on the website, the links are down below. But in the meantime, take care, and I'll be back soon with another tale from the past.